This is DMOU, Destination Marketing Organization University, the DMO Sectors Podcast, and I'm your host, Bill Geist. DMOU is where you hear the best and the brightest in the destination marketing space, sharing innovative and compelling stories to inspire you to take your destination and organization to the next level. The format for our conversations on DMOU is elegantly simple. It's three questions and a bonus round. And today's episode is sponsored by our friends at Destinations International, the most trusted resource for destination organizations. As the global association for destination professionals, Destinations International focuses on community, advocacy, research, destination tools, and professional development. You can learn more by visiting destinationsinternational.org. And now it's on to our show. Caroline Boland has over 25 years of experience working and specializing in community tourism, destination development and marketing, business and network cluster development, and identifying untapped tourism product development in Ireland. This has been a key feature of the emergence of the Dingle Peninsula as a leading destination in Ireland, with Caroline having been both directly and indirectly involved for over 20 years. Caroline is the Sustainable Tourism Development, Marketing and Promotions Consultant for the Dingle Peninsula Tourism Alliance. She was part of the team that successfully developed cluster and destination development and marketing plans for regional, county, and local destinations both along the Wild Atlantic Way and in Ireland's ancient East, such as County Clare Tourism Strategy, the Dingle Peninsula, Berea Peninsula, and Munster Vales. Caroline is a guest lecturer with Sacred Heart University, Connecticut's Irish campus in Dingle, lecturing in tourism marketing, and she has a master's degree in business and hospitality management at Shannon College in hotel management, where she's also pursuing her PhD. We are also joined by Mary Kay Wydra, who is a lifelong resident of Western Mass and serves as the president of the Greater Springfield Convention and Visitors Bureau, also known as Explore Western Mass. In this role, she oversees a membership-based nonprofit destination marketing organization dedicated to promoting Western Massachusetts as an attractive site for meetings and conventions, group tours, sports, and leisure travel. MK currently serves as the vice chair of the Massachusetts Visitor Industry Council and has on two occasions served as chair of the Massachusetts Regional Tourism Councils. She has also served since the year 2000 on the Massachusetts Governor's Advisory Council on Tourism. Mary Kay Wydra, Caroline Boland, welcome to DMOU.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
Well, this is a week, I think, for records. So we, as you know, we're based in Wisconsin. And yesterday, last night, we had the first tornado in the month of February ever. So there's that. Yeah. Oh, and then today, actually, no deaths. So we're all good. A couple of barns, but no deaths. But this is a record-breaking day as well. This is the very first time that DMOU has been bi-continent. So Caroline, you're joining from Ireland, MK from here in the States, and this ought to be a fun conversation. So let's kick it off, Mary Kay, with you. You know, I may not have been paying enough attention, but I have not seen a lot of destination marketing organizations maximize their community's sister city relationships, even though tourism is one of the program's pillars. In our prep call, you told me that Springfield, Mass is to Boston as Dingle is to Dublin. Share with me how this sister city's relationship is different from others.
Yeah, so Bill, thanks for having us.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited to be here with my colleague, Caroline. She's my friend as well. I believe what I meant by that reference was that, you know, Boston and Dublin are first tier cities, and we're almost 2 hours from Boston. Caroline and the Dingle Peninsula are about 4.5 hours from Dublin. We have to work that much harder, and oftentimes with fewer resources to promote our respective destinations. The sister city, the relationship there, I didn't know a lot about sister cities. I know that it's typically when a community or a region or a city, the top officials get together and they declare that they're going to work with one another. I know that within Western Mass, West Springfield, which is truly the sister city with Dingle, they talk the talk and they walk the walk. And we got involved about 6 years ago. You know, we'll talk about the Dingle Merchants in a little bit, but I love that we're capitalizing on this unique relationship. In talking to my fellow RTC leaders and other DMOs, I don't know anybody doing exactly what we're doing or anything even to the level that we're doing it. So I'm excited. We're excited to work with our counterpart across the pond, and excited that you're featuring us on your podcast.
I guess in my experience over the past 20, 30 years working with communities, I mean, you're always in the mayor's office and you always see, oh, you know, here's the plate or the plaque or the ribbon or the flag from some sister city. And I always saw it as, and pardon me, Sister Cities Incorporated, whoever you are, I always saw it as mostly about cultural, right? Maybe a little bit about commerce, but really it was about cultural. And Caroline, you've taken this way past what the initial pillars really were, right?
Yes, well, I think a lot of that goes back to the actual signing of the Sister City Charter back in December of 2017. And as you say, a lot of it can happen in the mayors or in, you know, the regional, you know, or state, maybe in America, it'll be state, here it's county. So a lot of it really was sort of organized, led by former Mayor Ed Sullivan, who was the actual president of the Sister City relationship with West Springfield, and Mayor Will Reichelt. But they, you know, came over, signed the charter, and without us, any of us here in the Dingle Peninsula realizing it, we had a sister city that we weren't aware of. But duly we met them and found out why this group of this delegation from West Springfield was in Dingle. And from there, it's just, you know, the connections and the relationships grew. I have to really give Ed, you know, and Mayor Will, huge credit, because, you know, we decided, let's do something with this. And so we did. And it's been absolutely a wonderful relationship through the Sister City, meeting Mary Kay and her team at Western Mass Tourism. So the cultural connections between both places has always been very strong, because there's a huge emigration story here from Ireland, you know, particularly going back to the famine in the 1840s. A huge number of people from the Dingle Peninsula and County Kerry emigrated to Springfield, originally Hungry Hill and Springfield, and the Greater Mass region in that time. And so those connections are still very strong, but it has really helped sustain us to bring it from across the cultural divide, the educational divide, to the trade and the tourism sort of connection. So I think we're coining the phrase that there's one community on two sides of the pond. That's how strong the relationships are.
If I could add in, Bill, I mean, we're destination promoters, we're marketers. And I think it's when tourism jumped in, at least in the Western Mass part. I don't want to pat my agencies on the back, but we will take some credit, and my chairman will weave into him too. He runs the Big E, which is a critical part of this relationship. He said when we got involved, it took off that much further. We were looking for ways to bring new people in and explain the relationship, and we're just promotional by nature. It's what we do. So I think any sister city would be smart to get the tourism elements within their communities involved in this.
Well, and that's a beautiful segue into the second question, because I think that that is probably a lot of the secret sauce here, is that both of you lead your tourism organizations and you are at that sister cities table at your communities where maybe a lot of DMO CEOs are not. And because you bring that tourism mentality to the table, you see opportunity that maybe others don't. So tell us how you've taken the program to new heights by bringing in partners like Aer Lingus, the Big E, as you mentioned, to maximize this relationship, because that's really the key here, is if we're going to inspire other DMOs to get serious about sister cities, they're going to want to hear the case study. So share with us the case study.
Well, I think really it's about people and place first and foremost, which is community and host communities within destinations. And I think that that's where there's a lot of similarity with Mary Kay and her team, and certainly from the Dingle Peninsula Tourism Alliance. You know, we would, you know, we're on the front line here. You know, the people we meet at the Big E, for example, are the people that we will see here, you know, within months of being there. Or we know just from conversations is that while we're still at the Big E, there's people we've met at the Big E here vacationing. So it's about people and place. It's about opening up those personal connections. And I think in a world, you know, where we look at tourism trends today, in a world where innovation is worrying to people, or AI, you know, what does our future hold through AI? We cannot forget that destinations are about hospitality. Mm-hmm. And because of that similarity in thinking and values between both our destinations, it comes through from what we do at the Big E. So I think that that's, you know, a really, really important core point. The other is the fact that 25% of the local population there, particularly in West Springfield, is Irish American. So there's, you know, sort of very similar cultural values. And I think that that's very important as well, because, you know, you're going into people that may never have been to Ireland, but they can identify or have a curiosity. So, you know, when we look at even the generation, which we'll talk about in a little while, you know, people want to come in and connect with their roots. And I think, you know, when we've been through COVID and we see the global conflicts, you know, it's about people and place. And I think that that's where the Big E, because it's tradition, is in heritage, you know, in the farming of New England as New England State Fair.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, artisan product, artisan food. So it really is a place where we can come and connect, not through trade shows, but through this extraordinary opportunity to meet Americans, you know, who have an interest in coming to Ireland. And we find it absolutely, we're privileged to hear particularly the stories of diaspora when they know that we're there.
So, Bill, just for clarity and for your listeners, I want to explain what the Big E is.
Please.
The Big E is held on the grounds of the Eastern States Exposition. It's a 17-day annual festival.
Yeah.
And it draws over 1.5 million people over the 17 days. It drives a ton of room nights in our region, and it's a great event. And it, as Caroline described it, it's often dubbed New England's Great State Fair, because each of the six New England states has a replica of their state house on the Avenue of States. And really, it's one of the reasons that my organization got involved when we kind of dove into this whole sister city relationship. It was an opportunity to help three key partners that we represent, the Eastern States being one of them, because as Caroline said, 20 years ago, they put a pavilion on the fairgrounds with the Irish merchants. And so the Dingle merchants have been coming over for years. The other member that we wanted to help, and as you said in my bio, we represent a membership-based organization, so people who invest in us. And one of those groups is Bradley International Airport, and that's the airport in Connecticut. And, you know, here we are, we're in Massachusetts, but we promote a Connecticut airport because for us, it's 20 minutes versus going to Logan in Boston, which is 90 minutes to 2 hours for us. The real pivotal group, though, that kind of turned the tide for us was Aer Lingus. And when Bradley introduced international service at the airport, that was back in 2016, that was a game changer for us.
So, Caroline, tell us a little bit about the Big E for you, because you have been an active participant, an active exhibitor, and making those personal connections with people whose families, who generations ago emigrated from Ireland to Western Mass. Tell us how that played out for you and what the benefits were back to those of you that came to the Big E to exhibit.
My neighbors, for example, surnames in the village that I live in are Fentons, Sullivans, Neils, Garveys, and so many more. And they are the surnames of so many of the community in Western Massachusetts. So that'll give you a sense just of the power of people. And so many people emigrated from here to the Western Mass region. So how it was that back in 2000, the current president of the Irish Cultural Center of Western New England Sean Cahalan, whose mother came from the Blasket Islands. He organized the first showcase to travel to the Big E. And at that stage, you know, none of us knew what was involved, but about 15 or 16 businesses we went over, and we were absolutely blown over by the amount of people that came in. And, you know, I mean, 2000 doesn't seem too long ago, but in tourism terms, it was completely different. Literally, when people came to Ireland from the US, they got on a coach and did sort of a 10-day whirlwind tour of Ireland. When you look at it, you think it's, you know, you can do that no problem, but it's really quite exhausting. But then over the years, some of the businesses, you know, couldn't keep going. And so it had become sort of very, very quiet. So when, following the signing of the charter, we went over and we revisited the Big E, met Mary Kay and her team, but also was a great way to reestablish those connections and just think this is a completely different place, because people we spoke to wanted to come on vacation for 5-7 days in one place as opposed to do, you know, the whirlwind tour.
Yeah.
But not only that, was people came to see us to tell us the story. So on the opening weekend of the Big E, President Gene Cassidy and his team have now created the Halfway to St. Patrick's. So the amount of people that come in to talk to us, and I cannot really get it across in words just how privileged we are, because we're hearing about people's grandparents, you know, how they might have left from here, not knowing each other, gone to Springfield and met each other there and got married, but never came back home. They continued to live their lives there. And so we get a lot of people coming in to tell us about what happened to their grandparents. We have a lot of people from third and fourth generations that come in to try and reconnect where the connections have been lost. And then we can help them to discover, you know, where their parents, the village they might have come from, that type of thing. And even something that we're working on at the moment is that just from this little village that I live in, 7 members of the same family, so 7 siblings, left Ireland in circa 1907. But the 3 sisters went to Fitchburg in Western Mass. The 3 brothers went to Hungry Hill in Springfield. And then the 4th brother, he joined the US Army. But he went on to win 5 gold medals, would you believe, in 1920 and 1924 for the US. And like, I mean, you hear about stories like that and you think, really? From a tiny little village?
Yeah.
You know, are you gotta be kidding me? So we actually are at the moment putting a commemorative bench up in the village for Dennis Fenton so that his family can come over and just to commemorate those connections, you know what I mean? And how, you know, from such a small place on the most westerly part of Ireland, you know, big stories can happen. But the big stories for us are the fact that families come in, they take the time because they want to share their memories of their stories with their parents or their grandparents, are the stories that were handed down over time. So it's an immensely powerful time and an emotional time while we're there. And we just love to give people the time to tell their stories too.
When we were in Dingle, it was fascinating. Our group, Caroline, put together an incredible fam tour so we could understand the product, you know, and she took us to the Blasket Island Center, which has a room with Western Mass on the wall. Mm. And one of the most beloved people in Ireland, believe it or not, is our congressman, Richie Neal, who represents the 1st Massachusetts District. And Richie, his family hails from Ventry, which is where Caroline lives. There's photographs of the John Boyle Riley Club that's on Hungry Hill in Springfield. And I swear, when we were in town, we bumped into people from Western Mass. It's just a tight-knit group, and it's wonderful to promote something like this.
And from a tourism perspective, this isn't necessarily a target market that you have to work very hard. I mean, there is a built-in interest here.
Well, visitors like to see friends and family, right? As Caroline explained, we have such a strong heritage of Irish descendants. And as she said, with the diaspora, so many settled in our region, it's just natural linkages.
So tell me, the Aer Lingus connection, was that a result of Sister Cities, or has Sister Cities made that whole service blossom?
I think Sister Cities are helping it blossom. I can't say we were the catalyst for them putting in the service, but I know they're on board with what we're doing. They know how hard both organizations, Caroline's Tourism Alliance and our Explore Western Mass, how hard we are working to try to encourage people to take that flight. It's so incredibly convenient to fly out of Bradley.
Yeah.
You know, you clear customs in Ireland, and so you land at Bradley International and can be back in your home in Western Mass. I mean, for me, it's 20 minutes.
I think as well, Bill, what we've found, last September, we had the opportunity for the first time to welcome one of Ireland's ministers. So I suppose whether that's equivalent to a congressman, to the Big E and, you know, to Western Mass. And he and the Consul General came up from Boston. We had our own local government representatives delegation here as well. And representatives from Aer Lingus came up. So they were with us for that first opening weekend. And they were absolutely gobsmacked by the Dingle Peninsula Showcase. And I have to give credit to, so the Dingle Peninsula Showcase is made up of local artisan crafters here for the most part, be it pottery, jewellery, crystalware, knits, beautiful fashion, also Dingle Distillery, the Sacred Heart University that we spoke about. But they were blown away by the quality of the displays, by the fact that it's all handmade produce here from the Dingle Peninsula, but also how real it was, you know, that it was people coming from the west coast of Ireland coming over to meet the same people, or, you know, sort of people with just a wonderful sense of connection in Western Massachusetts. And I think it's that connection, that authenticity, you know, and I think that when sister cities come together, there's generally something that connects them. And I think that that's the magic. You need to find the magic of the people and the place, make that connection to create a special story.
So one of our past guests on DMOU, Josiah Brown, had a magnificent presentation at Destinations International Annual last year, in which he exhorted the crowd to quit using numbers to prove the value of destination marketing. But at the same time, we have to understand there are going to be some people who are going to say, prove it. You know, why is this investment in both directions? How can we prove that that's a good ROI outside of the feel-good stories that you've told?
Well, Bill, I would say that, as I mentioned earlier, I think when the Dingle merchants come over, they're here for a number of weeks. And so there are room nights being driven by the work that we're doing. When we go over there, there's the impact to the economy. I think an organization getting involved in this, it's not the short game.
Yeah.
You got to play the long game and see the different relationships that will get formed. Just working on the mission that we're going to take part in this spring, we're bringing new people into the fold. I mean, we have one of our other big attractions in Western Mass is our St. Patrick's Day Parade up in Holyoke.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
A representative from the parade is going with us to Ireland. They weren't there the last time. We have the Chamber of Commerce going with us. I think there's economic development opportunities that can spin off from this. We actually have a story. Caroline had a local ice cream shop that was looking to expand pre-COVID. And I think because I'd like to say that it's because of the familiarity Caroline had that she pointed him in the direction of Western Mass as an area to consider. I know he was considering other spots as well. And of course, COVID happened and he pushed pause on that. But it's opening the doors and it's, you know, allowing people to have the vision and, you know, see what else. What else can come of this? And I'm really grateful that my board saw that. We actually received some additional funding this year in the form of an earmark that we're using for the mission to take us over there. So, you know, we're not using membership dollars per se, but I believe my organization would defend this relationship and use it as an example of something that sets us apart from other DMOs.
So what's I think is really important, and I think it's the gap. You know, when we look for a unique selling point, it's about the fact that the businesses are all micro and small businesses. You know, they might employ 20, 30 people. And I think that when you see through my research, you know, when you're looking at sustainability and sustainable destinations, you know, there's an argument coming through that the numbers really can tip a destination from being a wonderful place, you know, to vacation and experience local, you know, family run or moms and pops type experiences. Whereas when you take it based on the host community and the connections of the community and the cultural heritage and also the visitor experience, then you're into a completely different type of tourism that provides the most extraordinary experiences and makes those connections. And as I say, in a world which has become so much digitized, you know, we would even find on our social media, it's organics. You know, we tend to stay with organic followers because they want to stay connected, you know, because you know, you're even connecting an online relationship, but it was built from them being here and making the direct connection. So I think that, you know, when we look at the sustainability of destinations, but also about the connections, those small businesses, the Big E affords the Dingle Peninsula an opportunity to bring small tourism, crafters, education, all small operators, but into a very, very big opportunity, which they wouldn't get in traditional forms of marketing and promotion.
Yeah. And, you know, if you want to use an ROI that is absolutely anecdotal, you can give them this, that the conversation that we had to prep this call, I really wasn't, I'm sorry, very familiar with Dingle, like not at all familiar with Dingle. And after that call that evening, I went online and Dingle has become one of my top three next destinations. So there you go. It works.
Oh, well.
Anyway, so.
Anytime.
So pass the numbers. I want to get back with the last question. We've shared a few of the stories, but like I said, that prep call, I just was loving every minute of it because of some of the stories you were telling. So you said during that call, the relationships go well beyond the numbers to generating meaningful and magical relationships that span four generations. Take us a little further into that.
Well, I'll give you a real life situation. We had a group over from Western Mass region, one of the club and associations there. And I sat down to have a cup of tea with this couple. And this lady started telling me about her grandparents who had come from the area village just very close by, Ballyferriter. And they had gotten married. And she had this lovely picture of her grandparents who again had both joined the US Army and had served during World War II. But it was a picture and I recognized the church. And I said, I know where they got married. Her husband was from Eastern Europe, remember, the absolutely gorgeous couple. So I said, would you like to go and visit it? And she said, oh my gosh, can we? And I said, yes, I am going to ask, because they were traveling with the group. And I said, for you to stop at the church so that you can get off the bus, go and have that exact same photograph taken in the place where your grandparents got married. And the tears were streaming down the lady's face, you know, that she could connect with her grandparents who were long gone, but in the place where they had, you know, met and gotten married and grown up.
Yeah.
These are the wonderful moments you share. That's where we go beyond, you know, normal tourism. We go into the field of just, you know, trying to make a little magic happen.
Well, congratulations again to you both. You have, all due respect to anybody who also has been mining the Sister Cities program from a destination marketing and development standpoint, but man, I haven't seen it. And what you're doing is, I think, a guidepost for all of us that have sister city relationships that could become so much more than they already are, especially on the visitor economy side. So congratulations to you both. But before we let you go, it's time for the bonus round question. And this coming together of the two of you and your destinations was actually facilitated, you tell me, by an angel of sorts who left us all too soon in 2020. Tell us about that serendipitous connection.
I'm going to let Caroline tell the bulk of the story, but it was our first meeting needless to say, I barely got a word in edgewise. And I said to Caroline at the end of her presentation, I think it's only fair that I come to Dingle and present Western Mass. And that's actually what happened. But yeah, very special woman was the part of our first meeting. And I'll let Caroline, because she was one of her nearest and dearest friends.
So we have, and she's still with us in spirit, but this beautiful lady called Mary Ferreter. And she was a powerhouse. She was at the time international ambassador for the Dingle Distillery. So she literally went around the world telling the story of the Dingle Distillery. But most importantly, it was the connection to the people of Dingle. And her goal was to ensure that there was always a football team, a Gaelic football team in Dingle. Because again, emigration is such a big historic, you know, or, story of the Dingle Peninsula. But anyway, so when the Sister City Charter was signed, and Mary and myself were collaborating on traveling actually to the TBEX, it's a bloggers, international bloggers conference that was happening in upstate New York. And this was happening in September of 2018. So we said, come on, you know, of course, typical Irish, you know, not realizing the scale of the States. So I was like, come on, it's very close by. So why don't we nip over to Springfield and West Springfield for a few days and see what this sister city thing is all about, and let's make something happen. So anyway, she said, that's a great idea. Let's do that. But anyway, so I got on to Ed Sullivan, who coordinated our trip for us. So we ended up about 3.5, I think, Mary Kay, yep. 4 days. And but one that, you know, was, I sort of said, now we'd like to meet our equivalent, your local tourism organization too. And being, I suppose, a very good politician, he said, well, why would you want to meet them? You know what I mean? Tourism, you know? And I said, well, actually, we happen to be a tourism organization. But anyway, so it was very funny. We did TBEX and we had to get up. Ed had arranged it. It was a Friday morning, and Ed had arranged a 9 o'clock meeting in Mary Kay's office. And Mary Kay only had, we say, 45 minutes or something like that.
A half an hour.
Yeah, half an hour. Well, you were very optimistic. So anyway, bleary eyed, we got up in our hotel at about 3 o'clock in the morning. Mary always insisted on driving. And so we took off on this 4 hour drive, I think, anyway, across upstate New York and West Massachusetts. But anyway, so Mary's driving hard and I'm doing, of course, the PowerPoint presentation on my lap in the car. So anyway, at about probably 20 minutes to 9 a.m., you know, we both realized we were going to be 5 minutes later, thereabouts. And I thought, oh, my God, you know, so I phoned Ed and I said, Ed, you know, we know where we're going, but it's looking as if we're going to be 5 minutes. All right, he said. And he said, have you any change, he said, for the parking meter outside? And I said, no, of course we don't. So he said he'd stand on the curb and wait for us to arrive. And then, you know, we'd have the coins for us. I said, that's great, Ed. Okay, look, we'll be there as soon as we can. So at about 9:03, the next thing we just see this big building ahead of us. We've just come over, I think, is it, you know, the Memorial Bridge. And the next thing is we're there and we see him on the curb, and Mary takes his big, huge swing that lands us on the curb. We miss his toes by, I'd say, about 2 inches. And that was our arrival to Springfield.
And my half hour meeting stretched to 2 hours, and it was the most incredible presentation with the most breathtaking pictures in that PowerPoint presentation. And like I said, my comment was, I want to go there and tell you about my region. And that relationship has just continued. So
cool.
It's been great.
Very, very cool. Great story. Ladies, thank you so much. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you on. And
thank you.
Tell people where they can find you if they have questions about the Sister Cities program and how to expand it into a more visitor-facing opportunity.
Well, people can reach me at mkwydra at explorewesternmass.com. Caroline.com.
Caroline?
For me, Bill, and thank you very much for this experience. It's just been absolutely wonderful fun and bringing back wonderful memories of all the action and the fun and the work over the last number of years. But if people would like to contact us at Dingle Peninsula Tourism Alliance, it's, again, my name is Caroline Boland, but it's info@dingle-peninsula.ie.
Thanks for having us, Bill.
You bet. Thank you. That's it for this edition of DMOU. Tell your friends and peers this is where the best and the brightest come to share their stories. It's DMOU.com, and be sure to subscribe on whatever platform you use to listen to DMOU to be notified when new episodes drop. Thanks again to our sponsor, our friends at Destinations International, the most trusted resource for destination organizations. As the global association for destination professionals, Destinations International focuses on community, advocacy, research, destination tools, and professional development. Learn more by visiting destinationsinternational.org. DMOPros.com is where you're going to find links to our services for the DMO sector, links to the Z News, position papers on board diversity and a new model for destination development, the book Destination Leadership, and the biggest DMO job board on the planet, plus access to past episodes of DMOU. That's DMOPros with a Z.com. Executive producer of DMOU is Terry White, and this is a production of DMO Pros. I'm your host, Bill Geist. Until next time.